Hi guys, this is Emmanuel.
This is Brittany.
And this is Tabletop Discussions. We're coming back with another podcast. Today's topic is about first dates. One of our listeners actually wanted to know a little bit more about our first date. So we figured maybe we should turn it into a podcast because we hadn't really talked about it. We did an overview of from how we met and where we went, but we never actually talk about the feelings we had towards our first date. And thinking about that, we thought about the individual dating rules and etiquettes that we had personally and how that played into how our first date went. So what do you think?
Well, I think our first date was not really a first date. It was a first weekend. We went on a date Friday, which was New Year's Day. And then we went on a date January 2nd. And then we went on a date January 3rd.
So, with that being said, is that what your expectation was when we actually started our first date?
No, my expectations were not that at all. I don't really know if I had any expectations per se, but I definitely didn't think that it was going to be a continuous pretty much date the entire weekend. Because it's like, you know, you meet somebody, you go out with them that one time, and then you have that conversation where at the end, like, you leave them and then you get the text of like, oh, it was a great date. I hope we can do it again. Like, we had already made plans before we left to see each other on Saturday.
I should have invited you for coffee.
No.
I don't drink coffee. Yes, I do. Well, I will say that most people, I will even say myself, I know that there's such thing as dating etiquette and dating rules that a lot of people follow, but then there's the individual ones that you live by. Mm-hmm. Your code, your constitution, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I would say that dating you, even the first date, didn't actually fit with my code, etiquette, or constitution. So, for you, did it actually fit with what you felt that would be your normal way of handling a first date?
No, because it was not a normal first date for me. And I'm not saying like not normal, like it was weird or something. It was just not typical of any first date that I've been on. So I feel like this is where I guess I'm going to explain my version of the first date weekend. And then I guess you can explain your version of the first date weekend.
So before we do that, so I'm going to ask you a question directly. Mm-hmm. Like, you represent women.
Right.
I represent men. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. Just a core group.
Right. I don't represent all women either.
So why do you think, as a woman, why do you think there's a such thing as like dating rules or etiquette? Why do you think that they're in place for most people?
Because I feel like we've been conditioned of like, okay, when you meet a person, you want to put on your best face, but you don't want to give like too much at the beginning. And especially for women, because we don't want to come off as like desperate or needy, or we don't want to come off as the woman who's just gonna like give it away on the first date. So I feel like there's a lot of all these intricate rules that I feel like people follow and abide by when it comes to first dates. And I feel like if you kind of just let the rules go, you can generally have a better time. And that's what I feel like that's both what we did. I feel like that's what both of us did. But I feel like I definitely did that.
Okay. So I feel like as a guy, I feel like maybe some of the dating rules that we have is just because women have certain etiquettes or rules. Mm-hmm. So as a guy, if I meet you and I ask for your number, you give me your number and I call you the same day, someone will say, oh, he's desperate. He's thirsty. But in my mind, I'm thinking, she's interesting. I want to get to know her. I want to talk to her now.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't call her today because she's going to think I'm extra. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I'm desperate. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have to wait to call just because if I call too much, she thinks something's wrong with me. But if I take too long to call, it's showing her that I have other things going on in life that I made time to call her.
Right.
So I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like women have rules first.
You and feel like women...
Y'all created these rules? So we created our own rules to adapt.
Well, I don't know if I will say women created rules first, but I just feel like these rules were put in place or these customs were created somehow in some way, and we just have continued to follow them over the years.
Okay. So, normally, if a guy met you,
mm-hmm.
and you... Let's take it back. Let's say it was a guy you noticed, and you thought he was interesting, and then he came over and said something to you, but you were already interested in him before he even knew who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave you his number, and he called you like 30 minutes later. How would you have reacted?
I wouldn't have found that to be strange. Now, I would not have found that to be strange.
But you know that rule I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's that stupid rule of like, who's gonna be the first person to call and contact each other? Like, I feel like no one ever wants to be the first person.
Why not?
Because you don't want to look desperate. That's what it is. A lot of people don't want to look desperate. They don't want to look like needy. I just feel like people have these rules where they're like, I'm gonna make them wait a day or two before I call, so it doesn't seem like I was just waiting on their response. But in reality, like, if you meet somebody that you like and you vibe with, you are waiting for their response. You do want to hear from them. You do want to know that, like, they're interested. What's the point of meeting somebody and waiting 3 days to contact them?
Etiquette.
That's why we need to reevaluate our thoughts of dating etiquette.
So, I guess for this particular topic, I thought we were going to discuss dating rules and etiquette first, but maybe we should discuss what happened with us first.
I think
so. And
then
elaborate on dating rules and etiquette.
Yes.
Then it'll come across more natural.
And this is just our ideas of dating rules and etiquette that we thought that, like, we have to do prior to meeting each other.
Yeah. I would say that a lot of my etiquette rules or different things that I was doing, I would actually probably say some of it was just in response to what I thought you as the woman would react or do. The other half was protective.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a protective. Because you typically in life, a lot of times you try to stay within your level of comfort.
Yeah.
And not you overextend do yourself.
What has worked.
Yeah. Well, I would say that if I was meeting you for our first date, what I was doing definitely was not working. So, with that being said, I think we should take a quick break for one of our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll discuss our first date, what we felt about it. Then we go over some of our traditional dating rules.
So guys, welcome back. This is Brittany, of course, and I'm going to give my perspective of our first date.
Okay.
And then Emmanuel will give his perspective on how he thinks it went. I'm pretty sure we'll both say the same things, but, you know, we might have a little few extra ad-libs or something we might throw in there.
Oh, we'll find out.
Okay, so guys, this is what happened. For the backstory, for those of you who may not know, we first started communicating on December 25th, 2020. So go back to the first podcast if you want to know all the extra details, but that's when we first started communicating. So we had about a week time frame before we actually met up. Yeah, it was 7 days essentially before we had decided that we were going to meet up. So New Year's Eve came around and, you know, we talked about like, oh, what are your New Year's Eve plans? And we both said, but I think secretly we both wanted to be like, why don't we do something together for New Year's Eve? But I feel like deep down inside, like with me, I was like, whew, that's a little too early. Like, I don't want the first time I'm meeting someone to be on New Year's Eve. And especially it was a weird New Year's Eve 2020. Everyone knows that like COVID was happening. Not much stuff was open. We're here in Ohio. They had this weird curfew where it was like you had to be in the house by 10 p.m. And then it was kind of like, where would you go with a person who you are just meeting for the first time? Where would you go for New Year's Eve, especially during a COVID New Year's Eve? So we didn't end up doing anything for New Year's Eve, but I did talk to him and I did tell him, I was like, oh, you know, when the clock strikes 12, I want you to be, you know, one of the first people that I talk to. So I told him, I was like, I'm definitely going to call you. I was like, so, you know, be up for the call and everything like that. I didn't know if he was really going to be up or not, but hey, I put it out there. And he was like, oh, no. He's like, I can't wait to get your call. He was like, I'm definitely going to wait up for it and all that sort of stuff. So I was like, cool. So we had decided as well that we were going to meet up January 2nd. That's what we had decided. Yep. We were originally like, okay, we'll meet up January 2nd. Because we were thinking that like not a lot of places would have been open on actual New Year's Day. And plus, I originally had like this New Year's Day brunch that I was going to with one of my girlfriends, but it got canceled. And when I found out it was canceled, I told him, I was like, hey, the brunch that I'm going to got canceled for New Year's Day. So that's when he quickly was like, oh, well, what about if we meet up on New Year's Day and that be like a pre-date before the actual date? So that's what he said. He said New Year's Day would be our pre-date before before the technical, like, actual date that we had planned for January 2nd. Okay, so that was that. So we got through New Year's Eve. I called him, you know, around 12, whatever, on New Year's Day, 12 a.m. He was actually up and we stayed on the phone for about a good hour or two. So we stayed on the phone on New Year's morning till about 2 in the morning or something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we solidified our plans for New Year's Day. So once we had the plans, you know, I was at home and he was like, well, do you want me to come pick you up? So obviously it's New Year's Day and it's probably around like 12 p.m. Mm-hmm. at this point. And he was like, oh, I can come pick you up. And at first I kind of hesitated because normally I would never let a man who like I'm just not talking to come pick me up. I'm always like, let me go have my own transportation.
Why is that?
Because I was like, the person could be crazy. The person, it just might not mesh well. So I was like, at that point in time, if it's like that, at least I have my own transportation to leave and get out of there. Like, I'm not stuck and dependent on like, oh, I gotta suffer through this day and wait for this person to take me home.
Why did you let me pick you up then?
Am I telling my story or you?
You know what? Act like I said nothing.
So, know. Something in my spirit was just like, let them pick you up. I didn't even think twice about it too much. I was just like, yeah, come pick me up. I gave my address and everything to him. And granted, we had only been like talking on the phone. We had FaceTime each other for a week at this point. I mean, he told me what he did and who he was as a person. And he seemed like an outstanding, you know, person in society. But, you know, you could have been crazy. You could have been a psycho or anything. And I just gave you my address. But the Lord spoke to my heart. And the Lord said, let him pick you up. I believe it was the Lord who told me that. Don't try to come at me about Jesus because I love Jesus. Anywho, so he told me what time he came. And I believe he had like came and opened the door for me. He gave me a hug and everything. He came and opened the door for me. Like he got out of his car, opened the door for me, helped me get in the car. And then he got back, you know, in the car and we drove to Bonefish Grill. Right? Yes. Bonefish Grill. So at Bonefish Grill, like we sat there, we had a very like lovely time. Like we were there for a minute. It just seemed like old friends or something. It was like I already knew you. So my nerves were less like they were calmed down. But this is the other thing. So when we were walking into Bonefish Grill, he was like trying to hold my hand. And I think I kind of pulled my hand back and I kind of like held my hands like maybe in front of me.
Flashback.
Because I was like, it is too early to be holding hands. Like, that's what I was saying in my head. In my head, I was like, what does he want to hold my hand for? Like, we literally just met in person. Like, hand holding does not happen.
It was against the rules?
Yes, it was against the rules of what I had in my head. I was like, hand holding does not happen on first dates. Like, that's a really intimate concept.
When does hand-holding happen? When is it allowed?
Wait a second. I'm not done with my story.
Oh. Ignore my last.
You all, he's not listening to me. So, moving on. That was just like a no for me. So I was like, mm-mm. But in my head, on the other hand, I was like, well, I was like, I kind of want to hold his hand. But I can hold his hand because it's not right. Like, I'm conditioned to think, like, hand holding on a first date is not right. I don't know you. So I just let it go and didn't hold his hand. So we went through lunch at Bonefish Grill. And then the next part of the date, like, our whole date was, like, not a typical date. Then we went to a mall somewhere that I had never been. And that's the other thing. Like, I just willingly got in the car with him, drove all these places in Ohio that I had no clue existed. And I was just, like, so, like, relaxed. Like, nothing felt strange. I didn't have a sense of fear or anything like that. And then we went to the mall, and he had, like, told me about this candle that he wanted to get made. And I didn't know the whole, like, concept of the candle until I saw it. It's like he put a picture on the candle. And so he told me to pick out whatever candle I wanted, and then he put a picture of me on the candle. I was like, oh, okay. And so we did that at the mall, and then we also went to like Bath and Body Works, and I picked out all these different lotions and whatever else I picked out at Bath and Body Works. And it was just like we were just having a regular shopping experience. And then like we even went into Victoria's Secret, which is like something that a lot of people would be like, why would you do that on a first date? That could give the person ideas and stuff like that. But like, I didn't feel weird or strange with doing it. He was just like, where else do you want to go? I was like, well, it is a semi-annual at Victoria's Secret, so let's go to Victoria's Secret. Granted, I didn't get anything, but like, I feel like if I was on a date with another person, I probably would not have done that at all. So, to hurry up and talk about the first date and bring it all full circle, then that night, he was like, oh, I'm not ready for the night to end. And I was like, me neither. So we went to a bar by my house downtown. And then during that moment, I feel like that's where we really were like, both let our guards down more, because it kind of became more like a little bit more intimate between the two of us. And I'm not saying intimate, like we were like kissing each other down or anything, but we were just more so like a little bit more touchy-feely, like, you know, a hand on the leg or a hand on the arm or like a rub to the arm or to the back. And we kind of just opened up more. And then the very final thing was that the apartment building that I live in has a parking garage. We sat in the parking garage for like another hour and a half and we were just talking. Literally just talking and having a conversation. And that's something else that I typically would not have done, because I would have been like, I'm not sitting in a car with no man I don't know. Like, my typical dating standard would have been like, you can drop me off at home at the front door. I will call you tomorrow. Or I'll text you and be like, oh, I had a great time, let's do it again. But soon as I got in the house, he literally called me like 5 minutes later. And then we stayed on the phone again till like you got home. And we even stayed on the phone longer after that.
So was that the day that we deleted the...
Oh yeah, that was the same day that we deleted the dating app. Mm-hmm. I forgot to add that. But like I said, you guys can go back to the first podcast and fill in the blanks with how we met. But yeah, so that was the day. Then I'm briefly about to just go through the second day, or, you know, the second part of the weekend and third part of the weekend. So then on Saturday, we had made plans before we had parted ways on Friday that this is what we were going to do on Saturday. So to kind of run through that day, like, I had to go through to the DMV. He knew that I liked Starbucks and stuff like that, and I was standing in line. He actually came up to the DMV, and he brought me coffee and my favorite lemon pound cake. Now, he didn't get my drink right at Starbucks, but he tried, and I appreciate that he tried. Like, he really tried. You know, those Starbucks drinks are complicated if you get certain things in them, but he tried. And I was just so taken aback. I was like, what? I even called my mom. I was like, girl. I was like, he brought me Starbucks. And he brought me pound cake up to the DMV while I was standing in line. I was like, that was so nice. Then after that, we went back to his car, or his place. And he put the license plate on my car. Then we went to the mall. And we went shopping. And... we were just in the mall like regular. It was nothing weird or anything about it. Like, I feel like at that point, I was opening up and letting my guard down more.
Is that the day you went bra shopping?
Oh, yes. That's the day we went, or I went bra shopping too. Like, I got size for like a whole bra and everything. And mind you, this was like our second day. And he was just like, oh, just go. I'll hold everything. I'll hold all your bags and stuff like that. And he did. And it's not like he was like asking me like creepy, you know, being creepy like, hey, so what bra size are you wearing? Like, it was none of that. He was just generally like, hey, we're in the mall. If this is what you need to do, it's okay. I'm going to just stand here and wait for you. He did. Then we went out to eat again. And during that moment, I feel like we started to establish like more moments of like a intimate level between the two of us. It was like more hugs on that date and stuff like that. More like a rub and everything. And then we went to Texas Day Brazil, y'all. So we were sitting down and then what did you do? You got up to go to the bathroom or something. And then when you came back, I felt like this kiss on my neck. And I was like, what? Because I wasn't expecting that. And it was him. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay. I was like, so this is how we're doing things. And so that was that day. After that day, once again, went home, parted ways, and we talked on the phone until he got to his house and everything like that. And then that Sunday, I came to his house, and that's how I know I was really comfortable, because I would never go to a man's house that quickly. It had only been 3 days, but here I was at his house, and it was like nothing going on. He literally made dinner, which was amazing, by the way. It was very delicious. And we watched Insecure, because I had been telling him about Insecure and how it's one of my favorite shows. And I was like, oh, you know, let's binge. I mean, obviously, I've seen every season, but I was like, you know, I'll watch some of the seasons again with you. And we just had a good time laughing and watching the show and analyzing Lawrence and Issa's relationship and things like that and her friend group and getting him caught up. And that was Sunday. And I was literally at his house till like, I don't, 11 or something at night. And I had got over there relatively, I feel like, somewhat sort of early. And that was it. So I feel like a lot of the things that I typically have been told, like, you shouldn't do when you go on a first date, I think I did, like, the opposite of all of that. And I was like, I'm not playing these stupid, dating games and rules. Like, I'm just going to go with what feels right and good at that moment. And all those things felt right and good to me. So that's my interpretation of our first date or weekend date.
Okay, this is Emmanuel. Now we're back. So I guess since Brittany told me her version, I probably should tell everybody the real version. Not saying that her version was the fictitious version. It just wasn't the real version.
You are alluding to the fact that what I said was false.
I'm not saying it's false. I'm just going to say it leaves stuff open to interpretation.
Okay.
So, this is what actually happened. Now, this is the truth. So, this is what happened. So, of course, we still met. Well, we still started our conversation communication on December 25th. Mm-hmm. So, on December 29th, December 30th, we kind of talked about what are you doing for New Year's Eve. And I talked about what I was doing for New Year's Eve. But I agree with her that deep down, we really wanted to be with each other. And it's like, for me, for New Year's, I had a whole lot of halfway plans because, of course, this was COVID New Year's. I had never experienced any of those. So I didn't know where I would be because I knew by the time the ball dropped, I'll be home because America was closed down. Right? So she talked about how she was going to be with her girlfriend spending time for New Year's Eve. So I was going to make some plans, but the reason I didn't really make plans because she said she was going to call me right after midnight. And I was like, what if I go out for midnight and go do something and it actually turns to a real plan? I'm still actually out at midnight and then I miss her call. Because of course, if you listen to the first podcast, you'll know that I missed her very first phone call. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to miss anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to chill and be at home. It's COVID. It's about to be 2021. I'm just going to relax, be around the house. Right? So she did not call me right after midnight. I want to say she called me at 1 a.m.
You are...
But we'll probably have to check my T-Mobile phone log.
You absolutely should. It was not no 1 a.m. It might have been like 12:30 at the latest.
12:50 at a minimum.
Okay.
So it was 12:50.
It was not.
Okay. 12:49.
It was 12:30.
12:49.
It was 12:30.
I just compromised. I gave you 12:49. Like you said, you told your story. I'm telling my
story. But I didn't make up.
So it was 12:56. It was 12:56 and 30 seconds when she called me, where I was slipping in and out of consciousness, falling asleep, waiting for her call, right? So then she finally called. And then I woke up. And when she called, even though it was 12:56, I would say when she called, that was my New Year's. That was my ball dropping. When you called, that's when my New Year started. So that's why I was fine. I wasn't awake at midnight when the ball dropped. I was knocked out. Sweet dreams.
Me too.
So when she called to tell me Happy New Year's. Ooh, they shooting. Oh, and I was like, oh, hope nothing happened to you because I want to still see you. So I guess I can go back a couple hours earlier. That's when I found out that her plans for New Year's Day changed because we were going to meet for our date January 2nd, which I had organized. So I found out the morning of New Year's Eve that she was going to be free. So I did ask her if she wanted to be with me for a pre-date because in real life, I wanted to be with her on New Year's Day. But I didn't have a plan. So all day on New Year's Eve, because I forgot to say it, I was scrambling trying to get the plan together. So in my mind, I was thinking about what did I want to do. And I kept thinking about this picture that I love of you. The picture that actually was the reason that I contacted you. It wasn't that it was like such a, like it wasn't like it was a suggestive picture or anything. It was like a picture that symbolized everything to me. It was the picture of you with this red dress where you were standing in the middle of this robe. And I don't know, when I looked at the picture and looked in your eye, I actually felt like that was her. And there was this row. I saw the yellow stripes in the row that was under your feet down at the bottom. I felt like my future goes through her. That the only way I can get to what's on the other side of the row is to come through her. Which was why I ended up meeting you.
Right.
I said, I need to capture that on a candle. Don't ask me why it had to be on a candle. I just felt it. And I went, well, what I felt. So I had to scramble to put that together. So I called every candle person I can find. Small and independent versus big chain. Bath and Body Works, Yankee Candle, White Barn Candle. Candle places you never heard of. But the only person who actually met my needs was the Yankee Candle. But it just happened to be a little far away in a city called Strongsville. Never been to Strongsville, ever, ever, ever. Never been in that mall, but I figured I had to go. Because that picture meant something to me, but I don't know if the picture meant what the picture meant to her. Just like I didn't know what it meant to be on the candle. I just knew I had to put it on the candle. So it was like a scramble. I didn't really have a good plan, but for somehow, some reason, I was gonna get a plan together. So now, to catch us back up, she called me at 12:59.
12:30.
Okay. In Chicago time, but we're in Eastern Standard Time. So she called me. I would say, whatever time you call me, it don't really matter. Because when you called me, that's when my New Year started. That was my 2021 when I heard your voice. So we talked on the phone to about 1:30 a.m. And that's where we started our routine of being on the phone until 1:30 a.m. when we're on the really on the phone for New Year's. So we kind of talked about things and we also even expressed that, man, I wish we could have saw each other for New Year's. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was the COVID year, so I don't know how we would have actually saw each other like that. So we just tightened up a couple of the details to plan for tomorrow, like, was I gonna pick you up or were we gonna meet there? So ultimately, I felt more comfortable picking you up for two reasons. The first reason for our pre-date, because that wasn't our real date, for our pre-date is because I felt like I know my way around a little better. Mm-hmm. And then the second was I want to be more traditional. This is somebody I'm interested in. That she's comfortable enough to go out with me. I want to take her out on a date. If you meet me there, I'm not taking you out on a date. That's us meeting for lunch. Mm-hmm. Meeting to go shopping. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. If I pick you up or you pick me up, that's a date. I think if we do it the other way, we're just meeting for certain mm-hmm. things. Because anything that I could get you for lunch, you can get for yourself.
Yeah.
So if you met me there, it's kind of like coworkers or friends. So I wanted to actually take you out on a date. I wanted to get dressed, drive up, pick you up, get you in the vehicle, we talk, we chat, we go on a date, we have a good time, then I bring you back home. So, the part that she told you about our date for our pre-date, that was actually true. All of it. About us going to get the candle, going to Bonefish Grill was actually true. I think Bonefish Grill was great because we got to actually kind of break the ice and just kind of chat. My rule or etiquette, I guess, or thing that I follow typically is if it's my first date or encounter with anyone, I typically like to make it something short, sweet, and to the point. Even if I came to pick you up for it, it's like I want it to be short because I don't know how it's going to turn out. So I want something to the point. So it usually wouldn't be like a real meal. I'll meet for a brunch or something like quick because I don't know how it will go. Mm-hmm. But we met for our meal first, but the real plan was to actually go to the mall and get the candle. So I did it out of order. So if it didn't work out right, I already had plans on what we were going to do next. Mm-hmm. And I picked you up, so I couldn't just kind of cancel it. And on top of that, I also brought a gift with me on the first date.
Yeah. I talked about that in the first podcast.
I had to find the way to give the gift. So we went to Bonefish Grill, which was true. And then we went to the mall. We got the candle. Then after we got the candle, we did go to Bath and Body Works. And then White Barn. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Victoria's Secret. I think our plan, we were quickly in and out a couple of places because they were getting ready to close. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? And they were closing early.
So we drove back towards downtown area. And then we did sit and we talked for a minute. Then we ended up going to the bar to have a drink, had some martinis.
Yeah.
And then that's where we kind of really like opened up and started communicating a little more. And it was like a little less formal. And then when I was getting ready to go, I did tell you I wasn't ready for it to end. So we sat and we talked in the car for an hour or two longer. And meanwhile, we met up around noon. We didn't end our day till 1 a.m. Yeah. We spent 13 hours nonstop. During that time, that's when we decided that the dating app that we were using, we collectively decided to erase or delete it. Also, I gave you the gift that I brought from you, which was like this gratitude
jar.
Yeah.
And a nice card with a great message.
Yes. It was actually the beginning. And I ain't gonna say I don't usually. I've never actually went out on the first date with someone and actually brought a gift. That it never even crossed my mind to actually think of doing anything like that. But for some reason, it came to me that I couldn't show up empty-handed. I don't know how, I don't know why, but it wasn't actually in my handbook. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in my constitution. Mm-hmm. But I ended up like doing that. We talked for like a little bit, and then I had a great time. We talked on the phone, then I got home, and then I went to sleep. Then we woke up the next day because you had to get up early because you had to go to...
Wait. You didn't elaborate on the hand-holding. I want to know what made you feel inclined to want to hold my hand.
Okay, I was going to save this until we get to the other day.
Oh, okay.
But I'll tell you that. A lot of the things that I consider my etiquette that I found myself not following is because I didn't feel the way I traditionally felt. Mm-hmm. Because the only way I ain't gonna say you. The only way I can follow certain rules and etiquette is if something feels normal. I know Mike Tyson had this one thing that he said, which is kind of related, where he talks about everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. In relation to the people that he's boxing against.
Yeah.
So I actually felt that way about you. I felt like I had all these etiquettes and rules. Like, I don't start off picking up people on dates. That's too much work. It's like, meet me there. I don't know what we're going to talk about, how it's going to be. Similar to you. I was like, we meet there and it works. Next time I'll pick you up. I was like, you're already in a good location with places all around you. We could have met in any of those places. Because I was thinking, most of the time, people think when they don't know each other, like the woman sometimes think, I don't know if that guy's crazy. So picking you up didn't really fit what I normally do. Me actually going out of my way to actually get a gift, not an expensive gift, a thoughtful gift.
Yeah.
Actually, me, when your plans changed, me changing my plans to create a pre-date. And normally, if we got a date on the second, I'm good with that. But I scrambled and created a pre-date to go with the second date. Mm-hmm. It's like, that wasn't actually me. But when we actually communicated everything that we did the whole time we know each other, felt like I knew you. Mm-hmm. Felt the connection to you. When you got in the car, I held the door open for you, helped you get in. I held the door open to your own apartment to help to walk you out your own door.
Yeah.
Like, that's not normally expected. But mm-hmm. when we went to the Bonefish Grill, it's like, I wanted to open the door for you, but I wanted to walk in there together because I actually had this feeling like, it didn't feel new or fresh. It felt like this is us. This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So for that particular moment, I forgot that we just met. Because nothing about us told me we just met. And it felt like it was the natural thing to do walking in.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm going to hold my woman's hand while we walk and have dinner at this restaurant. Mind you, we had never actually been out anywhere because that's the first place we went. I walked you out of your door to get in my vehicle to drive to this restaurant, mm-hmm. open it so I can walk you into it. So we hadn't even had anything. So it was one of those where I wasn't even thinking about it. And it wasn't until you did the pullback that I thought about, I probably shouldn't be holding her hand. And that was troubling me while I was sitting there because I was thinking she probably think that I'm one of those kind of people or I'm desperate or something because I keep trying to hold her hand. But I wasn't holding your hand to get cool points. I was holding your hand because it felt right. So everything to that point had always felt right, but that was the first time I actually said or did anything that I actually felt you did the pullback on me. Because everything else felt like it was moving at the same direction.
Right.
But you didn't do the pullback. When you did the pullback, I thought about it for a minute. And I was thinking when we were having lunch, I was thinking, I don't really know where this is going. So I'm not going to try to hold her hand when we leave this restaurant. So I didn't. Because I was kind of ashamed. I was like, I knew I shouldn't have held her hand. But I wasn't trying to. I couldn't help it. That's before I knew that a lot of things were just beyond my control. So, with that being said, we still spent hours on hours, and we kept talking, kept spending time all the way until midnight. I drove home, we talked on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Till 1:30,
right.
Because that was our hour. But then the third day, we didn't even have plans for
the first day.
So the second day was actually like our real date.
Mm-hmm.
So we did go on our real date. Everything you said about the real date was actually true. So I don't even have to really get into that one, but I will say when I got up to go, well, you know what? I will say this. All through our weekend dates, for some reason, she kept forgetting to put on her mask. This is COVID life. But
I was mesmerized by what was happening with us each time we went out. Yeah.
But I kept joking with you that I kept making you forget your mask. And you kept telling me to remind you. I don't know if that's true or not. But I would say it hasn't happened to you since.
No.
So, when I was getting up to go to the bathroom, because some way I kept creating this habit of going to the bathroom. Kind of like artificially. Because I think I needed some breaks in between to get myself together.
Get yourself a pep talk back in the game.
Yeah, I had to stare in the mirror a little bit and stare at myself, my little pose. But that's when I started. I'll just go to the bathroom just because I think I gotta go. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't, but I just went just to like refresh and come back. So you were on the phone, I think, at that particular time. I think you had one of your friend's parents or somebody called you and you were on the phone. So I get up to go to the bathroom, which was kind of artificial. It was just time for a break, an intermission. So when I got up to go and then I was coming back and I seen you there sitting on the phone, it's like, I don't know what came over me that I ain't really planning. I just kissed you on your neck and then grabbed your shoulder, kissed you on your neck, then I sat down. And then I thought about it for a minute. I was like, I don't know if I should have did that, but it felt right. So I sat there and then I was playing on my phone and I actually took a picture of you talking on the phone and I actually wrote, I think this is it. And not only did I write that on that particular photo, I sent it to you. while you were on the phone. So I was like, oh, this is not right. I was like, she probably gonna think I'm crazy that I'm this interested. If she actually followed normal rules and etiquette, we actually had a wonderful time. I skipped the part about Starbucks because you talked about it. But the Starbucks part was right. I tried. I did the best that I could. So we also went to the mall. And she did go bra shopping. And just so everybody know, she didn't know her bra size. I didn't know it because I don't know bra sizes. But obviously, she lived her whole life and didn't know what her real size was. So I just joked with her about her not knowing her real bra size when the lady measured her. But in hindsight, I was thinking, I wouldn't have normally joked with someone like that this early in our dating experience because she could have took it the wrong way.
Yeah, you know, lots of things people take and get misconstrued.
Yeah, but you didn't take it the wrong way. And it's like, so I couldn't believe I was joking with you, but I couldn't believe you didn't react to it either. Mm-hmm. So on our second date, that was our second date, January 2nd. We actually didn't have plans for the Sunday. We created that on January 2nd, about the 3rd. So I told you about how I was going to cook, just like you told me about Insecure. I didn't know what I was going to cook. I didn't know how I was cooked. I didn't even get my home prepared to host you for a date because who invites a date over for their third date that's on their first weekend of knowing each other? I guess nobody but us. So I invite you over a date and I was thinking, hey, either what I cook is going to be the last time I hear from her. I really wasn't sure. But I don't know how I did that because I didn't feel comfortable because I was like, and it wasn't that I didn't want you to know where I live. It's like, I ain't know, like in my mind, I thought maybe it's too early for her to know how I live.
You act like you was living trifling or something.
No, I wasn't.
I
wasn't living trifling. But then at the same time, never actually had a date where I actually cooked. Like, I've been on a date where the chef cooks. It's like, I've never been on a date where I was the chef. Because that was actually a weird experience because I'm like, I don't know if she likes me enough to withstand my food if it's horrible. Because we don't know each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd stay in my safety zone. Like, I was up there thinking, oh, she really likes salmon. And it's like, I didn't know if what I cook actually meets her expectations.
Right.
But just at the same time, you don't know if I was cooking to poison you. You don't know if I was trying to kidnap you. Like, you ain't know if I had roofies.
I was just about to say that, put a roofie.
Yeah, you ain't know none of that. Visine in your water. Like, none of that. I ain't about to make no jokes about it or anything. But at the same time, you didn't really know me from Adam. And you came over for a day, and I didn't really have like a good plan. I just figured I was just going with what I kind of felt.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that the whole weekend was magical. Most of it, I could say all of it, was beyond my expectations. Yeah. It also didn't fit any of my normal etiquettes for dating. It wasn't short, sweet, and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like us creating a plan after plan after a plan. It's like I had to really be committed to the plan because we created as we went along.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my understanding of the way everything actually went. It was just, everything was too good to create a rule, even if I wanted to, because I try to stick with my rules. I tried. Well, I didn't try hard because it was easy to break them for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to be close to it because I was mad at myself that I kept expressing the way I felt. Because I didn't know how you would take it, because I didn't think that was something that a guy usually does. As far as the way I was expressing myself and the way that I felt, pretty much like confessing my love and admiration for you at the beginning.
Yeah, that's not a common thing.
Yeah. So I think also during that weekend, I actually said the one thing that I was mad that I said it after it came out of my mouth. And I don't know if you remember it, but I told you that I felt that I loved you before we even met.
Oh, yeah. You did say that.
I did say that. And after I said it, not trying to use curse words, but I said the S word. Ugh! I was mad. I was like, I wasn't supposed to say that. But I could not
say
it.
Your heart wanted you to say it.
But that's what I was actually thinking. And that feeling is what guided me through the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That I felt that I loved you before we even met. Mm-hmm. That I felt a connection to you. That I felt like I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't need to take certain cautions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I can lead with the feeling that I have deep down for
right.
you. And I actually felt that you were reciprocating it. Unfiltered. Because traditionally in dating, you date with a filter. That you can be totally interested, but if the other person hadn't expressed their interest,
mm-hmm.
you don't really give
your
whole interest.
Your full self.
So if somebody would have, if you were anybody else, and somebody would be like, so how was your day? I'd be like, it was alright. Like, what did you think about her? She cool. But with what we had, they'd be like, how was your day? Oh, fantastic. It was wonderful. Do you know we went on a 3-day date? They're like, what do you think about her? I'm like, oh, she's amazing. I think this is it. And I was like, who goes out on their second date and not only thinks a person is the one, but also takes a picture of her, writes it on a picture, and sends it to her. So I figure I was either writing my death certificate or I was on to something. So
you were on to something.
So that's my version.
Well, guys, we are going to come right back with our ideals of what we thought our dating rules were. Because clearly they aren't that anymore. But these are dating rules and ideas that we thought. And we're going to kind of go over that. And then we'll have some other things to add to the rest of that segment. All right, friends. So, to just backtrack a little bit or kind of recap, you know, we discussed our perspectives on our versions of our first date. I gave mine, Emmanuel gave his. So now, you know, I'm just going to touch on the point of like having these dating rules. I understand why men and women have them. It's like we're kind of conditioned to be taught of like, this is how you play the game. This is how you get in. He's in the background doing things. This is how you...
I'm just dancing. Get my rhythm on.
this is how you should play the game, or this is how, you know, you get the woman or the man. You don't want to act vulnerable. You don't want, it's all these just rules that just really don't make any sense if you think about it at the end of the day. But my like advice is to just go with what your heart feels and do what is comfortable to you. So honestly, if you've been communicating with a person and you've been talking to them for a week or two, and you guys finally go out on a date, set aside all these rules and ideals that you have and just go with the flow of what feels right. So, I mean, some people might say, oh, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. But if it feels right and good to you, go for it. If you want to give the person a little kiss on the cheek, do it. If you want to hold their hands, then do it. Because looking back on it, like, I could have easily held your hand and I would have been okay with that. It was just, I had all these made up rules and ideals in my head of like, as a woman, you shouldn't do this because they're going to look at you this way. They're going to think this about you. But no, I generally was interested in wanting to do that and wanting to hold your hand. I know I didn't, but I'm saying, just looking back on it now, like, it wouldn't have been a big deal if I had held your hand. Like, nobody was thinking about us when we were out and about. Nobody was looking at like, oh, those two are on a date. Like, we were in our own world creating our own moments with each other.
Well, what I would say as far as dating rules, dating etiquette, all that other stuff like that, that I feel that I'm more traditional in my views and values. Thank you, Granddad, for the things that you taught me and instilled in me, and I'm continuing it every day. But what I would actually say that in order for things to be dreams come true and things to like be like a fantasy as far as dating and relationships, you can't follow the traditional rules. I know a lot of those TV shows, books, movies, and all that, they talk about how the person is swept off their feet and this, you know, this magical carpet ride of wonderful, exciting things and all that stuff that people feel that it's unattainable. But I would say that it is unattainable if you have certain rules and different things in place. Because I've noticed that from a younger age, it's like, as a guy, you can know, most guys know exactly what they want. Most of them. It's just, they don't actually always communicate it because it might not be exactly what she wants to hear. Even if it's something not so good. So it's like we're used to not presenting those things, because if we present it, then it's kind of like, if I met you for the first time and I just tell you that, I don't know, I think you're her and we're going to spend the rest of our life together, you'd be like, who are you? Like, in real life. So, guys make up stuff. Like, they might walk over to you and be like, I'm here. Any other wishes? And just create game. Right. Different things like that. But it's like, I traditionally actually follow it because it's the expectation. And it's like, I don't really need to do that. It's just what the world has actually conditioned me to do. I just never actually met a person that I actually felt that you were her. Right. I've met people that I thought was interesting that I wanted to get to know, but I've never met anyone that I was like, that's her. I've never met the that's her person. So meeting you, you were the that's her person. So I couldn't even think of any of my etiquettes and rules because they weren't good enough. They didn't make sense to what we were actually trying to do. It's like, I felt that you were above those. Not saying that people, everybody was below them, but they weren't above those rules.
Right.
Like, you were above those things. That you were worth me so-called going out of my way. Or what I consider to be normal. So I would say that etiquette is put in place not just to protect the other people, but to protect yourself mm-hmm. from going places you don't want to go. But because a guy or a woman who didn't feel that you were exactly what they needed and wanted to spend the rest of their life with, they would never tell you you are. They wouldn't try to hold your mm-hmm. hand. They wouldn't want to see you on a first date 3 days in a row. It's like they wouldn't want to do any of those mm-hmm. things. So mm-hmm. I feel that if you're able to follow rules and etiquette, that person may or may not be at that time what you felt that you needed or what you felt that they were. Mm-hmm. Maybe later you find out they are.
Yeah.
And you didn't know that before because you were following those rules. But once you found out they are, none of those things apply.
Mm-hmm.
And the sense of time. When people think about the timing for everything, it's different for every person that you met. And it's certainly that way for us. So I will say that I'm hoping and I'm praying that this is your last first date.
I believe that it was. I have to hope and pray. I believe that's been answered.
I know. You'll never forget it because it was on New Year's Day and January 2nd. And it was January 3rd.
The whole weekend.
Yeah. So if that was your last, it was on the first day of the year. Mm-hmm. So you'll never forget it. We can go on 50 first dates.
50 first dates. And relive the moment. Each and every date.
So, in closing, I will say that first dates are wonderful and awesome. And hopefully for everyone, it's something that you remember. Mm-hmm. I know they say that the way you start is the way you finish.
Yes, my mother has always said that how you start is how you finish.
Well, I didn't know she said that, but I concur. Some people start one way and finish a totally other way, but mm-hmm. I actually want to start the way I actually finish. So, I tried to hold your hand on the first day. So, I'm going to have to do it every day after that. So, if we ever go back to that restaurant, just know I'm going to do a reenactment because I have to create or recreate
that moment.
Yes, that was the only rejection that I had the whole time we knew each other. Rejected it.
It wasn't like an hourly like rejection to your face where I was like, no.
It was subtle. You might as well smack my hand.
I wouldn't smack your hand. I just kind of slid it away. Politely.
It was kind of like in those older movies where the guy and the woman are in the movie theater and the guy's trying to slip his arm around the woman and then she moved and then he act like he wasn't trying to do it. That was me when I tried to hold your hand. I just kind of made it seem like it was just me trying to keep you in line to get to the door. But in real life, I was like, oh shoot, she caught me. So I can't wait to correct that. So we need to go back to that restaurant so we can do it all over again. You don't have to wear the same outfit, but
just so we can get the hand holding together.
Yeah, so I can fix it. So I can make a correction.
Okay, let's plan for it.
Okay.
We're gonna go next week.
So with that being said, this was an impromptu podcast. So we just wanted to talk about our first date. Mm-hmm. So we just we invited you in. Just hear the conversation we were having because I was going through a moment where I was thinking, she rejected me. She wouldn't hold my hand. Why she hold my hand now? Maybe she don't like holding hands.
Now, that's a lie because you know dang good I'm well. I hold your hand all the time.
I know.
I'd be like, come on, babe, let's go.
Yeah, but that very first time, my hand was rejected.
Now it's loved. But overall, guys, I just want to pretty much say that a first date can be fun. It doesn't have to be awkward or weird. Yeah, you might have some nerves, and that's fine. It just depends on who you are as a person. But really get to know that person. Really get to dig deep, ask questions that are of importance to you. When you're trying to meet someone, you know, see what type of sense of humor they have. It doesn't have to just be strictly like about business per se. Because we had an overall like great time. We laughed and joked with each other. We found out more about the intricate parts of each other. So, I mean, we just really... what's that song Trey Songz has? Let me dive in.
Oh.
That's what we did. We just dove in head first and here we are.
No parachute.
We just, you know, jumped right in and we did what was comfortable for us. That's the thing. Do what is comfortable for you. So if some things are not comfortable for you, don't do it just because, you know, you heard us talk about it or you see other people doing it. You have to do what is within your comfort level. Remember that. Do whatever's comfortable to you, because whatever we have done, other people might be like, that's stupid. We are not doing any of what they have done. We're not going to the mall to get candles. Okay, you don't have to go do that. Do whatever works for you and just make sure that it's genuine for both parties involved.
Okay, so with that being said, this was Tabletop Discussions with Brittany and Manny. And we look forward to you tuning in with us again in the future. Just know we do podcasts like this every week.
We try to do weekly.
Okay. Yeah, we try.
That's another thing, guys. We try. We're like I said, this is new to us. We're trying to keep up a schedule. But, you know, we do it when we can. We both have full-time jobs and other things and responsibilities that we take care of. So, just bear with us. You know, hopefully we can just get a routine and get in a groove of actually getting more things out to you guys. But we do appreciate the support that we are getting from people, because we're getting a lot of support from a variety of people. I guess I'm kind of shocked. I didn't know that so many people would actually be interested in the things we have to say. So it actually feels pretty good, because this is more so of like, you know, something that we both wanted to do. And it was more so like, oh, let's do this. You know, we're having fun with this. But we really see that we kind of have a little audience now. We want to keep giving you all great content. And we hope you guys stick with us.
Oh, so can you do one thing? So before we end this podcast, can you leave me with a famous quote that you've heard from someone that's special to you, or something that you hold close or live by?
I don't know if it's a quote, but my mom always says, never let anyone knock you off your square. So I don't know if that's a quote that she found from someone or if it's something that she just made up.
What is it again?
Never let anyone knock you off your square.
What does that mean?
So it essentially means like, don't let someone come in and disturb the flow of how you do things and how your life is, the morals and expectations that you have. So kind of stay true to yourself, but don't let someone come in and disrupt the flow of your life. You know, bring negative energy, bad vibes and stuff like that.
So I don't think I knocked you off your square.
No, you haven't. I think I've incorporated you into my square.
Okay. So if we leave you with anything, we'll leave you with the famous words of
my mother, Pamela.
And those words were, never, ever, 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 ever let anyone knock you off your square. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.